Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words to the disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Today's text is the first part of what's become kind of like known as the priestly prayer of Jesus. We hear in the Synoptic Gospels something like this. Does anybody know when this is that's happening? The time that this is happening in the life of Jesus. This is happening just after the Last Supper, the prayer that we heard today, and before the betrayal, before Judas comes and betrays Jesus. Now in the Synoptic Gospels, we hear about disciples are all out in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and they all go to sleep, right? And so this prayer doesn't say that they're in the garden, so you know we don't know if this was a prayer that before that happened, or was this the prayer in the garden. It's hard to understand what the prayer might be. If everybody was asleep, who was jotting down notes? Ooh. Just asking the question. So we have this prayer, and in John, we're not sure exactly when it happens. It's sometime after the Last Supper, but before the betrayal. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is praying for this cup not to pass me. Again, I wonder why anybody heard Jesus if they were all asleep. That's always one of my questions, is how do we get this information about what Jesus is doing during this time? But so let's deal with the text today, what's happening, what Jesus is saying. And Jesus is praying. And this ends up being three different parts that happens over 3 years. We'll hear this whole prayer. So this year we hear the first part at this time of the year. Next year we hear the next part, and then the year after that we hear the next part. So you're only hearing a third of the prayer. Please go to John 17 if you want to read ahead for next year. You can read the whole prayer at one time. It's all in the Bible. But Jesus is praying in this prayer. And I thought this would be a good time for us to talk about what prayer is. And we'll talk a little bit more about the gospel in a second, but this idea of what prayer is. We all pray, I hope, in here. But where can you pray? Does it have to be here at church? No? So where can you pray? Anywhere, right? And when you pray, what time should you pray? Anytime. It can be in the middle of the night and you get up. I find that sometimes I pray and I fall asleep while I'm praying. I think God's okay with it. But sometimes I wake up with prayer on my lips as well. Sometimes, I'm almost always praying for my meals. I pray for every morsel that goes into my mouth. That's just one of my practices. I hope, well, and I get a lot of it. So there's a lot of prayer for me. So, you know, whenever you eat, when you go to sleep sometimes, I have found that over the years, for myself especially, before I went into seminary, I prayed very often this prayer that was like, hey, I'm in real trouble again. Come help me again. Does that sound like a familiar prayer? I'm having all kinds of trouble. What I found I did less before, and I try to do more of now, is prayers that are like, I thank you, God, for this great situation that's happening. It seems like when good things happen a lot, I would forget to pray. Well, because everything was going good. So that's helped. I think seminary helped me redefine my relationship with God and this idea that it's not just when stuff is going bad, but maybe I could even pray for God when things are good. And we've talked about in here, it was a couple years ago, I think, I talked about maybe a model for praying. And I talked about Acts. Does anybody remember this? So you think of the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, and the first letter A stands for adoration. So when you sit down to pray, the first thing you do is praise God through adoration. And the next letter C is confession. You talk to God about those things that are weighing you down, things that are troubling you. So the next letter T is thanksgiving. I'm thanking God for all the things that I've had. And the last one is salutation, which is kind of like this ending. And so, God, these are the things that are coming up that are really important, I think, and help me do better at these or help others or, right? So just that A-C-T-S is an easy way to remember kind of a form to pray. I find myself even going back to that today sometimes. So it's good to have kind of a model, especially if you look into the Bible. There are a lot of good models that Christ gives us for praying. The number one model, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, right? When you pray, pray like this. It couldn't be much more plain than that. So the Lord's Prayer is great to pray anytime. You can pray either trespasses or sins. They both work. Okay? So either of those versions of the Lord's Prayer is going to be just fine. And you can pray that prayer every single time if you want. If you hold a row of beads while you do it, you're Catholic. So you can pray that prayer all the time, but you might get tired of only praying the Lord's Prayer. So what are other models in the Bible that kind of help us understand maybe what it is that we should be praying for? Certainly, we tend to pray for ourselves and for our context, right? But if we look at the greatest commandment, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So maybe, like in our Acts model, the first letter A, adoration, that might be a great prayer all by itself. Just, hey God, you're really great. I really thank you for everything I have. I thank you for things that are difficult in my life because I know I'm learning, I'm growing. I thank you for things that are wonderful in my life, right? So love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. But we would be remiss if we didn't remember the second half, which is also love your, as you love yourself. That's the one that I think gets missed the most in prayer. Who are your neighbors? We've talked about this before. Everybody? Everybody. We say it just so easily. Everybody's my neighbor. I pray for everyone. The part that's hard for us is when we're praying for somebody we don't like. So at night, the news comes on, and some announcer says, and here's the face of evil. This is the person that pulled the button, punched the button and blew up the bomb vest. This is the person who took a gun into a school and killed children. Do we pray for that person? We should. We don't very often do it. They're just as much a child of God as any one of us here. And it's really who God calls us to pray for, the lost, the forsaken. And it's really hard. It's really hard. But that's God's call to us, to pray for those who are in most need of prayer. Even when we don't agree with them, we're still praying for them, that God would somehow enter into their life to help them, to help me understand them. Why? One of the guys I saw at the Festival of Homiletics, see, you're reaping the benefits of me going to the festival already. You just plan on me going next year. It's at Washington, D.C., so I don't think I want to go. But one of the guys that talked, his name was Claudio Savalas. This guy is, when you look at his biography, it says that he's a spiritual leader, he's a pastor, and he's an activist. And so on his website is a picture of him with a bullhorn and poster, and he's, you know, talking about something. So what was really interesting for me to hear Claudio talk about, and the whole theme of this Festival of Homiletics was preaching beyond the borders. So Claudio came in and talked about some ministry that he's been doing in Mexico. He's from Mexico. And as he was talking, he was literally building a wall on the stage that continued to make it difficult to see him. And then pretty soon it was hard to hear him, too. And while he was talking, he also showed a movie that's called Beyond the Borders, which is a movie that the Catholic Church put out about the Mexican diocese and an American diocese down in southern Texas who ended up having a mass together. And right where the fence divides America and Mexico, and they pushed a table up against the fence on one side and a table up against the fence on the other side. So now it was one altar. And during communion, they were handing bread over the fence to each other. It's a really powerful imagery and really difficult for us as Christians to be thinking about how is it that we're treating our neighbor and who is our neighbor and who are we praying for. So these are really difficult things that God gives us to think about. Who is our neighbor? Yet we're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what makes this possible is this prayer today. Who is Christ praying for in that prayer? I want you to remember that Christ is coming out from the Last Supper, and he knows what's happening next to him. He'll be betrayed. He'll be crucified. And yet in this prayer, he's praying for us, the same people that will nail him to the cross. Christ is praying for us in this prayer. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who breaks down barriers and borders by his love that he gives for us, his sacrifice of his life. Lord, help us to recognize that daily, to not be afraid to pray for our neighbors. Lord, to keep ourselves centered on you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.